Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Baker Mayfield made his regular season debut last night and helped lead the Browns to their first win in 635 days. But next up for the Browns is a road game against the Raiders. And last night, Baker had an interesting take on Cleveland's schedule. Take a listen.
These people are looking for way bigger wins and want way bigger celebrations. Yeah. And all of that depends on you, buddy. Oh. Can you handle all of that pressure?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for that. Yeah.
No, it's okay. You know, we talk about it. We divide the season up into four quarters. Yep. And so right now we just played game three of the first quarter. We can come out next week into Oakland and we can come out 2-1-1 and win that quarter. Yeah. And if you focus on winning those first four games and take that at a time, you can come out and you can have a home playoff game.
All right, we are joined by FS1 NFL analyst D'Angelo Hall, but we're actually going to go to Skip first. How many games will the Browns win this year?
By the way, what he said last night on NFL Network will resonate in that locker room. That's why I love that young man, because he said it matter-of-factly. He did not predict we're going to make the playoffs. We do it a step at a time. And he said it so convincingly that I'm thinking, yeah. Because I think he really believes they could win each quarter of the football season. I don't know if you guys ever thought that way.
Yeah, I believed I could play in the NBA, but the bottom line was I was too small.
All right. Couldn't shoot good enough. So you're just completely dismissing this. I said before the year started, I told you, if Baker Mayfield starts from the start, this team will go 9-7. Wow. And obviously, Greg Williams' defense played well enough to put them in position to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, but they needed a lightning rod playmaker to close that deal, and they did not have one starting at quarterback that day. I believe they could have beaten Drew Brees in New Orleans because the Greg Williams defense, as you point out, he used to be the coordinator in New Orleans, put them in position to close that deal. Last night, Baker Mayfield, by accident, and I'm sorry Tyrod got hurt, closed that deal. I think their schedule sets up right now for them to go on a little and maybe a lot of a run. What did Hugh Jackson say in the final, one of the episodes of Hard Knocks? Mm-hmm. He told Dez Bryant, we can pull off the greatest turnaround in NFL history. Now, again, he was trying to do that with Tyrod. He could do that with Baker Mayfield. So I'm going to say they can go on a little run here at Oakland, Baltimore, maybe even Chargers to Tampa Bay, even the Steelers at home. I'm going to give them a shot in those games. I'm going to say they get to 8 wins, not 9 because they blew the first two, but 8-7-1. Will it make the playoffs? It will not make the playoffs, but 8-7-1 for Baker Mayfield's Cleveland Browns.
Skip, I think I had at the beginning of the season, I told you I believe they could win somewhere between 6 or 7, and you said pick one or the other.
Yep, because you can't win between 6 and 7. You can only win 6 or 7.
Man, I'm looking at your schedule, Skip. I don't see. Let me take another swig of this.
Maybe
to clear me up. Skip, when you look at the schedule, okay, the Raiders, I give you that. They should win that game. Yeah. But then you got Baltimore, the Chargers,
I think
Bucks.
They can beat Baltimore at home. Yep.
Skip, I'm going to give them 5.
5?
I'm going to give them 5. I said he went 4 more games. And that's pushing it. That's all I mean. That's because I ain't really thinking in my right mind now, D'Angelo.
Hey, look. It's hard to put a number. Because like you guys said, when you look at this schedule, the Raiders is the only game that I can really see them winning. Hmm. Yes, the Steelers, they have a chance, but Big Ben's not going to turn the ball over 6 times like he did to keep it close. And that game, you still only tied. The Saints was the one you probably should have won that you could have helped your overall tally. But, I mean, when I, you know, like Shannon said, when I sit here and think about the Bucks, the way they're playing, the Steelers aren't going to do what they did. The Chiefs, the Falcons, Texans, Panthers, Broncos. I mean, they play in one of the toughest divisions historically. Then they play the NFC South, one of the toughest divisions over the last couple of years. They could have won 7 or 8 games this season if they did not have to contend with the NFC South. Mm. But because they have to do that, I just don't see how they get to even 5.
Okay, quick reminder. What did we just talk about in our previous topic? The Pittsburgh Steelers are a troubled football team with a defense you have less than zero respect
they're
for.
Terrible.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So you don't think Baker Mayfield might make a few plays against that defense?
He
I'm going to say it one more time. The Cleveland Browns defense is legit.
Oh, yeah.
It's
Myles
got
Garrett.
Some studs.
Yeah, Myles Garrett
studs.
Is
a problem. And that Schobert kid at linebacker, who they say can dunk between his legs and over his head and every way you want to dunk it, all of a sudden he looks like a player who Greg Williams loves. He's become kind of the Sean Lee, if you will, in the middle of that defense, and Jabril Peppers and Denzel Ward. They got players, and they got a guy who can scheme. I was a little surprised they didn't go after Sam Darnold more last night, but when they pick their spots, they can blitz crazy.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to say they're going to keep them in games. They just need somebody to make some plays.
You know what, though, Skip? I don't know what team we're going to get, because if you saw this Cleveland team the first half with Tyrod out there, they looked completely uninterested in the
Lifeless.
Game. They didn't block
Lifeless.
Anybody. They weren't motivated.
Okay. And then what happened?
It looked bad.
What happened?
They couldn't run the ball, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, gosh, Sam Darnold looks like the veteran, and my boy Ty looks like the rookie out here.
Yeah.
And then he gets a concussion. He's out. Baker comes in, and the team just looks different. They're running around. They're
making blocks.
Catching the ball.
Yeah, but
the running back's running the ball
difference
now.
The difference between the Jets and what he's going to face moving forward, all these other quarterbacks are veterans, with the exception of Mahomes. And Mahomes looked really good, and the talent that he has around him. But you look at Matt Ryan, Andy Dalton is a longtime starter. Cam's a big-time starter.
Rivers.
Skip, I'm giving five.
Wait, is Ben Roethlisberger a veteran? Is Drew Brees a veteran? How did that defense make those two guys look?
No, but here's the thing.
They had a hard time.
Yeah, but when you look at their offense,
it's
not like Cleveland's offense is a juggernaut. So the defense is going to have to play well every single game to keep them in these games.
I love Jarvis Landry. He led the NFL in catches last year.
Yes.
Little Callaway, I don't love him off the field, but he is a bullet, man. He just flies by people, right?
So you say they're going to win eight games.
Mm-hmm. I got them eight games.
I think me and D-Hall got them at like five.
Yeah, five is a stretch for me.
And listen, Carlos Hyde, when he gets cranked, he's not going to blitz pick up. I didn't say he's going to
Well, he can't play.
Okay.
Well, he'll get – I tell you what.
He gonna get
if he does what he did last night to Baker and that linebacker put his helmet in his back, he's not getting back on the field.
Okay.
You can't do that.
Okay, but Baker's got one ability that Tyrod doesn't have. Tyrod can run down the field much faster than Baker, but Baker is slippery in the pocket. I don't know how he does it, but he's got that quickness in a confined space, that eye in the back of his head sort of thing. He gets free. He gets loose. I've watched him for three straight years, every snap at the University of Oklahoma, and I'd say, how did he get out of that?
Yeah.
He gets out of it. He escapes, and he extends.
God,
These are different guys he's trying to escape from. I've seen guys escape in college, too, and they get in the pros, and
but Todd Haley was
a little bit different.
Todd Haley would call it some bull jive for Tyrod.
Todd Haley definitely.
The offensive line.
And I've been a part of that where we've had RG in and the offense looks completely different. And then you get Kurt in and it's like, man, why weren't we doing that when Kurt was in the game? And so I've seen it firsthand. And so to sit back at home and watch it on TV and just see how different it was, Todd Haley, know what he's doing.
Is it possible, because you went to Virginia Tech and started Virginia Tech and so did your man Tyrod?
I'm going to keep it real with you, Skip, always.
Is it possible that you are now rooting against Baker Mayfield because it would show up Tyrod if it took off with Baker?
Not at all. I even admitted to a group of my buddies in a group chat we got that, man, Baker actually looks really good. He has command of the huddle. Mm-hmm. He knew where he wanted to go.
Yep.
And I said Ty was always looking kind of flustered out there. And some of it was he didn't have time. If you sit there and watch, it was three-step drops where the pocket was collapsing and Ty couldn't step up or couldn't even make a throw, where Baker was having that time. And, you know.
Can I use your word, Skip? It looked like last night Todd Haley was sabotage-y.
Really?
I'm just saying.
Sabotage-y?
I'm not saying he, to the ish.
Mm.
Sabotage-ish.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying he didn't want Tyrod?
That's what you told me about the Super Bowl.
Well, then why was the head coach being sabotage-y against Baker Mayfield? Why didn't the head coach play him from the start? What did your eyes tell you last night? Well, why wouldn't he play?
The Jets aren't a very good football team.
I think they're decent on defense.
Yeah, they're decent, but they're not they're on the lower end of the NFL spectrum when it comes to talent.
Well, they looked pretty good at 14 to nothing, didn't they?
They did. They looked great, but it was more so how bad did Cleveland's offense look.
And then what happened?
More so than
right
they looked
cue,
great.
In order for the Browns to get back in this game, they still needed some help. And Sam Darnold, right on cue,
gave him some
did help. What he did in college, which was turn the football over at an alarming rate.
And Baker Mayfield does not turn the football over. Last year at the University of Oklahoma, 43 touchdowns to 6 interceptions.
Man, there's a lot of guys like really, that.
No, there are not a lot of guys like that.
He got really lucky.
Whoa.
It's more
hold
guys
on,
that
hold
do
on.
That.
Hold
it's
on.
More guys that have numbers mm-hmm. similar to that than what they do when they come to the league. I mean, there's a lot of guys in that Big 12 that put up big numbers in interception
my
to
favorite
touchdown
stat,
ratio.
QBR, yeah. College football, last 2 years, he led the nation in total QBR. It's efficiency. It's lack of turnovers.
I mean, he won, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and what do I? What have I always told you about him? Because I watched him. He is a careful gambler. And I know those two words don't go together, but somehow he'll try something where you say, what are you doing? And all of a sudden he fits it into a place where only his receiver can catch.
He got lucky.
He's a
he got sacked and fumbled the ball. The
he
offensive
did.
Lineman picked
right
it up.
Away.
He
right away.
Second and one.
Yeah, and to get a field
well,
goal out of
it. I can tell you, it was the first time in his life he got thrown in as a relief pitcher. He's not a relief pitcher. It's a new mindset. It's hard to get thrown in cold into a fire that is raging against your team that was picked to win a game that it is getting kicked in.
But let me,
right?
let me tell you who it's harder for. It's harder for a guy like D. Hall because he hadn't prepared for the backup quarterback. He's been preparing and reading keys of the starter.
I know.
And now all of a sudden the backup comes in there and he's throwing the ball around. Like, well, hold, that's not
And all of a sudden the ball is traveling. It is zinging. It's got some mustard on it.
They got some tape on it. Yeah. They might only have a half, but they got tape, and they're going to get more D-Hall.
It's college football.
It's going to be interesting moving forward, man.
TCU is one of the better defensive teams in the nation. They got destroyed at Oklahoma, and they got a second crack at him in the Big 12 championship game. Go look it up. That coach is a good coach. They scheme well on defense, so they got to figure out Baker, and they got torched again.
Kyler Murray and Tua are very high in QBR. We'll see what they're going to do in the end, but they probably should be number one overall draft pick, right?
Who?
Kyler Murray and Tua.
Kyler
Why
Murray's,
not?
Because Kyler Murray's going to play baseball. He's already got – he took the money.
But he number one in QBR.
Smart move,
thank
right?
you so much for joining
smart
us.
Move.
No mercy. The Cowboys are a small 1.5-point underdog in Seattle on Sunday. Dallas bounced back from their week one loss with a win against the Giants, but Dak Prescott still has only thrown one touchdown pass this season, and he's yet to throw for 200 yards. Shannon. Who wins on Sunday and by how much?
Why don't you jump on Alex?
Alex, are you a hater? Well, where did that come
yeah,
from?
Alex.
Not a hater.
But you're on my side
just,
today.
Just the truth.
Well, that
the
was
true. Yeah, you go, Alex.
That was harsh.
That true syrup.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
She was in my closet earlier one of the more fifths.
Really?
I got the Cowboys by 10.
By 10?
24-14.
By 10.
And not that I think the Cowboys are good, because clearly I don't. Mm. I just think the Seattle Seahawks are that bad. Skip, this matchup is set up perfect for the Cowboys. The Seattle's offensive line is terrible. They lead the league in sacks allowed. 12. The Cowboys are second in sacks gotten. So Seattle's defense giving up 25.5 points a game. Mm-hmm. When have you known the last time you've known the Seattle defense to give up that kind of point total a game? They're 23rd in rush defense, 20th in pass defense. Taylor made. Because Dak Prescott only averaging 165 yards a game. What is this, the wing tee? An NFL quarterback throwing for 165 yards a game. Your quarterback. Ooh. Yeah, you and Lil D, I know y'all have your little conversations. Every morning he tells me, Skip, stop by. You know, we talk about the Cowboys.
Who?
Derek, the security guy.
Oh,
Yeah. You know D.
Well, he's a hardcore Cowboy
Yeah, he
fan,
hard.
Like
yeah.
most of the security guards here. They're all Cowboy
yeah,
fans.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. They be suffering. Hold on, Alex, did you mention Dak is only throwing how many touchdowns this year? What?
How many games did they play?
Whoa, two. Well, Mahomes got 10. He only played 2 games. He got 10 touchdowns.
But that was some touchdown passing.
No, you know what's only you.
Whoa.
Only you can find a positive.
Did that not set the tone for a game in which you picked the New York Giants to win?
I did.
Jerry World?
Seattle could be without their starting guard, their center.
Yep.
K.J. Wright still. Is iffy. Doug Baldwin is probably iffy. Mm-hmm. Now, they do get Barry Wagner back.
Bobby Wagner, excuse me, back.
I played against a guy named Barry. Skip, what does Seattle do really well? Can you name one thing they do well? Do
play
they
defense. Run defense.
So, giving up 25 points a game is playing defense, huh?
Well, they sure made it hard on Mitchell Trubisky, and you probably think Mitchell Trubisky is better than Dak Prescott.
Oh, my God. You think that, hold on, I would do him like he does me. You have no, you have little to no respect for Mitchell Trubisky.
Me?
Yes.
I have no. Okay, not okay, little. Okay. I have no.
Okay, you have no.
But I think you believe he's better than Dak Prescott. Well, you say Dak Prescott's garbage.
I've told
but
you.
But you're picking him to win by 10 at Seattle?
Yeah, I've come in here and told you. The more I see him, the less I like Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dak Prescott.
No. Mitchell Trubisky. All right. Seattle doesn't do anything really well, offensively or defensively, Skip.
Yep.
This is not the same team. Mm-hmm. And I know they're going home. But, Skip, they've been playing at the link for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that crowd was just as rabid.
Yep.
But guess what? When they didn't have good players, they took that L. And I don't believe they have enough good players to deal with Dallas. And Dallas is, and Seattle is tailor-made for what Dallas does. Mm. Now, I believe they should get Zeke off the snide. Mm. Let him get him up about 30 carries. And let him go on and get that $150, $180. Mm-hmm. You'll be happy. You'll come in here, pound the table. How about that? Yeah. How about them Cowboys? Mm. That's what you would do, but that's what they need to do. Mm. So I got the Cowboys winning 24-14.
Okay. So all week long, I have had to sit across from you, listening to you disparage the Seattle Seahawks as garbage, as Legion of Whom? Right? As the Seahoos who have no chance to win this game against my Cowboys.
Zero.
Now, you have little to no respect for my Cowboys, but you have less than zero respect for the what's left of the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah,
is that fair?
That's about right.
Okay, yeah. So this is what I'm going to do. You say Cowboys by 10. I say give me Seattle plus 9.
Nope.
I'll take Seattle plus 9, and I will bet against my team if you'll give me 9. Why not?
Ooh.
Also, you have no courage of your conviction.
I do. That's why I picked them 24-10.
Oh.
I mean 24-14.
Oh, give me 13 points?
No.
How about 9 points?
No.
Put your do where your mouth is,
because
I put my do in my mouth every morning.
Nah.
Diet.
I don't feel
it, champions.
I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Why not?
Making you bet against
I
your
don't
team.
Care. I don't
feel
care. I'm completely calmly comfortable with that. I thought about it all night long. I thought I'll take that bet because I think I could win both ways on that. One.
I know you can.
Yeah.
I know that's what you're really hoping. You're trying to. No, it's not going to work, Skip. So I'm not betting.
Change your score?
No. 24-10.
Well, then
24-14. They win it by 10. 24-14 Cowboys.
Then you don't really believe what you just
I do.
Said. Well, if you believe it, just go ahead and give me 9.
Actually, I came down.
You'd be fine. You're going to win by a point.
Actually, I thought it was going to be more. I just came down.
Okay. So, then I'm taking an even worse bet than I should. Than
no.
I deserve.
No.
I deserve, what,
no,
14, 13?
I'm not doing this, kid.
Why not?
No.
Why?
Mm-mm.
It's not a sucker bet.
I'm trying to win. I'm trying to win. I'm not trying to give you anything. Because here's the thing. Rob Parker won, but he actually lost.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought the Jags were going to beat the Patriots by double digits.
Nobody.
And so he's like, yeah, they're going to win by 14. He ended up giving you 13.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to do it.
And I won. And I felt really good about losing and winning. I did.
I know you did.
Yeah,
it
was great.
So theoretically, you won on both fronts. But I'm not
going
to let that happen.
Why not?
No. Go ahead, Skip.
I don't think you believe what you just said.
I do believe it. I absolutely believe it.
All right. So, I believe this is going to be a very difficult game for my Dallas Cowboys because Bobby Wagner is no joke, and he is back and in full throttle, according to them. Huh?
He's no Sean Lee.
Well, he's in the ballpark because he's in the top. He's three or four, top three or four.
He's two behind Kuechly.
No. No. He would be three behind Sean Lee, Kuechly, and then Bobby Wagner. KJ Wright is iffy, but I'm going to bet just because it's the Dallas Cowboys, I'm going to bet he's going to play.
Man, people don't just be playing if they end up because, I got to play against the Cowboys.
Arthroscopic surgery, he's going to play. He'll suck it up and go. Michael Kendricks, I have no idea how he's eligible to play, but he played really well last week. I was shocked how well he played.
Well, he was in a camp. He was in Cleveland, Skip.
Well, I know. But he's a good player. He's a good player for the Eagles last year. So he's eligible, and if KJ can't go, he's going to be in there.
Right.
And then the cowboy who wasn't, Earl Thomas, he's still a Seahawk.
Yeah.
He's going to be patrolling center field for the Seahawks. Yeah. Is he not the best safety in football?
Yes.
Wow. Okay, so there we go again. So you got the, according to you, the second best linebacker in Bobby Wagner and the first best safety in Michael Kendricks. And, man, I'm looking at this defense. They're credible. They're not the 2014. They're not the Legion of Boom.
Okay, where are we going to rank that offense? Okay.
So Let me keep going on that defense. Okay. My only hope here is I'm a running football team. That's what you've taught me. You're the Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
We run the football. We set up the pass with the run. It used to be that way. That used to be by the book in the NFL. Now most teams, they pass to run, right?
Right.
The running is the divert, you know,
give the wide receivers a break from running down the field and the quarterback's arm arrest.
Okay. So I believe my team can go for 125 yards rushing. I think Zeke will go for 85 and Dak will go for 40. He's got to get 40 yards rushing. He's got to run some read options, some rollouts, some quarterback draws. They'll hit him, but he will hit back. And he, remember, his coming out party was in this stadium in that third dress rehearsal preseason game. Remember that in his rookie year? What happened that night?
Oh, my goodness.
What happened? Tony Romo, once again, right on schedule.
Yep.
Collarbone broken.
No, he was back.
Cliff Averill.
Yep.
No longer a Seahawk, thankfully.
Oh!
So, what did we see that night? Dak Prescott took, they were blitzing, they threw kitchen sinks at him every play, and he just said, no, I'm going to stand tall in here, and I'm going to keep firing. And Ezekiel Elliott, on one carry, broke free in the secondary, and who'd he go looking for? Where's Cam?
Okay, yo, where is Cam?
Where's Cam?
Where's Cam now?
Over Cam.
Where's Cam now?
He's gone.
Okay.
He's retired.
Okay.
God bless him. I'm knocking on wood for him that he's going to be okay going into his second life, right?
Yep.
So, I believe my defensive line can get after Russell Wilson because I got Randy Gregory back. I got Dayton Jones back to go with DeMarcus Lawrence Taylor coming from the other side, right? So, we can rush the passer.
And Crawford.
Yeah. Huh?
And Jack Crawford.
Yeah, and you didn't talk about Taco. We're going to eat some tacos, too. Taco
Charles. You know what? You need to stop.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got that. We can rush the passer.
Yeah, you can.
So, we'll get after Russell. We won't get him six times. We might get him four times.
Ten.
No, four
Eight.
Times. Want to bet on that?
They get it more than five.
More than five?
Yeah, they get it more than five times.
More than five sacks? I'll take that bet.
No.
Okay, thank you. See, I'm trying to
sucker him. I know you are. I know you are.
So, will Russell Wilson still make some plays? You better believe he will because he always does.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the home opener. That's what's going to happen on Sunday. This is the home opener at CenturyLink. And you know what happens when the Cowboys go anywhere? The hatred goes off the decibel meter. That's what's going to happen. It will be as loud as it's ever been for a playoff game because they hate Dallas and they're going to try to roar their team back to life because their team is dangling from the cliff right now, right? At 0-2.
Yeah.
And if you lose this game and lose it the way you're saying that they're going to lose it, they're just kind of waiting until
they're on the cliff,
right?
And guess what? Cowboys coming to just give them that
just
push.
Push them right off the cliff.
You know you're on the hill. All you got to do is take one push. The snowball on top of the hill,
you
don't need a big push, just a little one.
So the last time my Cowboys played a regular season game there, it was Tony Romo, it was DeMarco Murray, and they pulled off a huge upset. It might have been the upset of the year in the National Football League because they went in there and won 30-23 against the Legion of Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And it resounded. And Bobby Wagner will remember that. And Earl Thomas will remember how bad that hurt to have to go home and sleep on. We lost at home to Dallas?
Yeah, and they remember. Remember, like, man, we had Cliff Averill, we had Michael Bennett, man, we had Cam Chancellor, man, we were loaded back then.
Yep.
We had Beast Mode. Woo, man, we were dealing.
Mm.
What happened to that team?
Yep. So I think my no offense Dallas Cowboys can put up 21 on this defense. They'll grind it out with long Dak-centric drives, things of beauty, good old days drives back from 2016, as we saw last week against the New York Football Giants. Remember that 16-play, 82-yard drive?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. Well, you're going to see three of those.
Man, ain't nobody getting no three. Mm-hmm. Do you know how hard that'll be, Skip? Do you
know how infrequently that would actually happen in a game? That's what he did all through 2016. That's what he did for the first half of the year last year
until
Sean Lee got hurt. And then
what Sean Lee got to do with him not driving the ball?
And by the way, I'm not sure Sean Lee's going to play. And by the way, if Sean Lee can't go, he's got a bad hamstring. He says he's going to go. But if he's gone early, I'm done. I'm out. I can't win without him.
Well, no. We're not doing that.
I don't think Leighton Van Der Esch can get me over the hump.
We're not doing that, Skip Bayless, here. We don't we don't hedge here.
Well,
we don't have a hedge fund.
You know,
I'm not a manager.
Feel.
No,
at least
no.
I'm on the record. He's the best linebacker in football. And if he can't go, I'm in big
trouble. The best linebacker at what?
What do you mean at what?
You know Von Miller's a linebacker. So is Khalil Mack.
They're not.
So is Kuechly.
They're not linebackers. They're just not.
What about T.J. Watt?
They're not linebackers. I'll give you Bobby Wagner and Kuechly. Those two are linebackers.
So unless you play the middle.
Sean Lee can play the pass as well as the run. Sean Lee can blitz from the middle as well as anybody can.
No, he can't.
Yes, he can, and he will if his hamstring will
hold
up.
Have you seen all those – I bet he has more missed tackles than any middle linebacker in football.
He does not.
Did you see that clinic he put on against Carolina?
Oh,
how to miss a tackle?
He did not put
it. Yeah, and last week?
Yeah.
How many times did Saquon spin on him?
How many times did Saquon get loose for a 68-yard touchdown like he did against the Giants in the opening? Nope, not because Sean Lee corralled him every time.
How hard it is?
He kept him in check.
How many 68-yard runs you think a running back will have in his career?
I don't know. According to the Dave Gettleman, the GM, what was it? He's touched by the hand of God. You'd think he'd have at least one a game. He had none against my guy.
What's he supposed to say? We drafted a bum? Of course he go hype him up, Skip. He take him.
Because everybody's saying, why didn't you draft Sam Darnold? And maybe after last night they're saying, now I see why you didn't draft Sam Darnold, right?
Well, all I'm saying is that, Dallas, you want to win this game.
Yep.
Go and let Zeke get this thing started for you guys, because Zeke is the party starter.
Yep,
he the one to get that thing jumped off. Not your
okay, guy. So you convinced me. I'll take Seattle plus 8.
Mm-mm.
8? Nope.
I'm not going to be able to do that, Skip.
8?
And unfortunately, at this time, I say no.
Seattle's garbage. They're the Legion of who?
Yeah, Skip. I wrote down. It was like, Seattle doesn't really do anything well. I can see this team winning 4, 5, 6 games maybe.
Huh.
Yep, got that
down. Now they don't have their center or their guard against my pass rush? Mm-hmm. I'll take 8.
Mm-mm.
Seattle plus 8?
I mean, Arizona.
I think you just got exposed as having no courage of conviction.
The Cardinals are the only team I see that's worse right now in the NFC.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. This is going to be a tough game, but my Cowboys are still going north. This is where they play. They turn into a playoff contender.
Yep.
Which will horrify you, and we'll just see what happens on Monday morning. Next. No
mercy. Now, Antonio Brown has had quite a drama-filled week. He argued on the sideline with the team's offensive coordinator in Sunday's loss. Then he responded to a former Steelers PR guy on Twitter saying, quote, trade me. Then he skipped meetings on Monday and was disciplined by Mike Tomlin. Yesterday, it fired up AB, talked to the media. Take a listen.
Now, you guys make assumptions about my emotion. You guys don't know me at all. You guys just write what you think gonna get hits. Between me and you, everyone in locker know what I stand for, know what I'm about. You know, I'm committed to this program, this organization. I'm fully here. I go to work every day. I'm about my business, and I don't take it for granted. You know, my business is winning here. I come here to win. And the win, you damn right I'm pissed off. But as a competitor, I mean, I take this serious. You know, this not just a game to me and cashing checks. Money don't matter. You know, I look at my assignments and my performance. That mean a lot to me. You know, and I go home, I weigh in on that. My family weigh in on that. So to me, you know, guys who just think they could just disrespect me, you know, it's out of order.
Well, Shannon, he's passionate.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like those comments?
No, absolutely not. Hell no, I don't like him, Skip Bayless. It's not how you handle success. It's how you deal with adversity that tells us more about who you are than not. So I just want to make sure I'm here. He says we're losing. You lost one game.
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about, the reporter said, but James Conner touchdown tied the game. Oh, we were losing. Now, you go back and look at Antonio Brown's, look at the last 3 to 4 years, and look at the games they've lost and when he's had a monster game against the Jags in the playoff loss, 7 for 132 and 2 touchdowns. Did he act like this?
Mm-mm.
When they lost to Jacksonville in the regular season, he had 15 for 187.
Did
he act like this? You see what we're seeing here? He wonders why there's a feeding frenzy when he keeps dumping chum in the water. I give you another example. He won the ball game, Skip Bayless, in Kansas City. How did he act after the game? He put the thing on Facebook Live. And then he talking about we make assumptions. We? You. You give us reasons to make assumptions with your behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It was reported he didn't show up for work. Now, he said yesterday the coach knew about this, and so we good. Okay, if coach knew about this, why would he discipline you? I've never heard of a coach disciplining a player when the player tells the coach beforehand, I got a personal matter I got to deal with. Now, if you go deal with the personal matter and you don't tell him, he says, I understand.
Yeah.
You should have told me. I'm going to have to find you a level, type of discipline against you. But Antonio Brown need to miss me with this. You the one that said trade you. Nobody made that up.
Mm.
It's beyond me that his teammates give him this kind of courtesy and this kind of carte blanche service to be able to act like he does. Mm-hmm. And when Le'Veon is trying to get his money, they come out and attack him on all fronts. Everybody says, oh, AB is passionate. Okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes to lose, Skip, because guess what? I put in all this time, all this practice time, all this meeting time, all the hard work I put in the offseason, and we lose. Yes, I'm upset. But if everybody acted like Antonio Brown every time they lost, what the hell are we ever going to accomplish? Mm-hmm. So, Antonio Brown, you're not the first player to ever lose a ball game. Mm-hmm. But your behavior, this is not about you losing. Antonio Brown was upset he's not getting them catches. That's what Antonio Brown's upset about. Let the truth be told. Mm-hmm. Now, he can go about, are we losing? No, you lost a game. But go back and look over the last 3 to 4 years when they lose a game and he puts up monster numbers and see if he doesn't show up the next day for work.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was powerfully stated, Antonio, by a Pro Football Hall of Famer. And I think Antonio should listen, but he won't listen to that. And I think you should have listened to yourself because you said after the Facebook Live, after that playoff win up in Kansas City, ahead of the AFC Championship game at New England, you said, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm done, right?
Yeah.
I believe you were exactly right, ahead of the curve, ahead of your time. I don't think Pittsburgh should have re-signed him and given him his money because once you do, and he does have monster games, you recreate that little monster in your locker room. You're going to have a hard time handling him because you're right. He didn't miss that day for a personal reason. Yeah, it was personal to him because he took it personally, the way he got treated by the media and everybody else on his team, right?
Right.
So, do I think he's all about the W? I do not.
No.
He's not about winning. He's about starring. He's about performance as in stats. That's all he really cares about in the end. And he has now declared war on the media. And I've been doing this for a long time. You're going to lose.
Yeah.
You will ultimately lose that fight.
Yep.
You did not fight that fight. In fact, you went the other way.
Right.
You were the go-to guy in your locker room for quotes. You were the team spokesman, right?
Yeah, basically.
Because you were, well, you were. You were, I know John was too, John Elway, but still, if you really needed the quote that would sum it up, you go to this guy. Because he's going to give it to you as straight as possible, as unvarnished as possible, as unpolitically correct as possible, and he's going to entertain you while he's doing it. So that works because that's what we want in our job, right? We want that quote that will carry our story or our piece on TV. So he is now trying to kill the messengers who are just, they're just reacting. They see what happens. They see Ben score a touchdown. I think it was the tying touchdown.
Right. Or it was Connor. I think it was James Connor.
Well, but Ben, the one that Ben ran in.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Remember, he ran one in the end zone, and the team goes to celebrate around Ben, and little Antonio, he just walks quietly by himself back to the bench. Mm-hmm. He's angry. And he fought with the coordinator. Every wide receiver who's ever played has fought with the coordinator at some point on the sideline, so I don't take that all that seriously. But if the media just reports what you're doing, if you miss a day of work in the National Football League.
Yeah, that's big news. Because there's really no sick days in the NFL. There's
no sick days.
Yeah, there have been plenty of times.
You can't do it.
I've been sick, and you know what they tell me? Come lay on one of these tables. You'll probably feel better.
Yeah.
You weren't staying home.
Yeah. I told you when we first heard about this on whenever it was, Monday or Tuesday, I forget. But I told you. There are certain lines you can't cross. Yeah. I've covered a bunch of NFL teams. You can get away with lots of misbehavior as long as you're there.
Right, correct.
But if you just miss a day of work unannounced.
Because you're a professional athlete. You work every day.
You just can't do it.
How you know? Well, I wonder if I got to go to work today. I wonder if we got, it's a holiday on the week. No, you don't get holidays off in NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how they do it in basketball or baseball, Skip, but I know on Thanksgiving, guess what? We got practice. Mm-hmm. On Christmas, we got practice. Now, whether it's in, now, unless it falls on a Tuesday. If it falls on a Tuesday, there's no work on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But to just not show up, and Antonio need to stop this. Just stop this. I don't know who he's trying to fool.
I don't know either, but he's fooled a lot of people on social media because he's got a big following. He has created a monster on social media that he has to continue to try to live up to.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
An aura, an image, right?
Skip, he's a great player.
He is a great player.
But to sit here and to say, I'm acting like this because we're losing when we've seen you lose games before,
yep.
and you have monster days, mm-hmm. and you're not even close to this.
Yep.
You're being disingenuous.
You are.
To make a long story short, you're lying.
And, you know, just something, just a little aside that I caught, he referred to his quarterback in passing as Roethlisberger. And it kind of surprised me because—
Not Big Ben?
No, or just Ben or, yeah. or something. Would you call Elway Elway? Yeah. I just don't think you would. I just don't. It's almost disrespectful just to— The quarterback who's thrown you 1,000 balls mm-hmm. and, you know, you've helped make, you know, I know the XPR guys yeah. said that basically Ben got Antonio.
Right.
That's not true. But the point is he's done some good things for you. You've right. had a good combination there, a good right. rapport, right?
Right.
And you just dismiss him as Roethlisberger.
And he still, Skip, he still has the most targets
yeah.
in all of football. Mm-hmm. So it's not like they're not. You know, he has 10 targets. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get you the football. But also know the other team knows they're trying to get you the football. Mm-hmm. That's why Juju mm-hmm. has a bunch of catches and a bunch of yards.
Yeah.
Duh.
What have I always said back to the days of Terrell Owens? They play such a dependent position, and the wide receivers are the closest things we have in the NFL to NBA stars. Mm-hmm. They carry themselves like right. they're NBA stars because right. they can take over games.
Right.
They can make highlights that are dunk kind of highlights,
right?
Where we just see it over and over. Great catch by Odell, you know.
The Keelan Cole catch.
Keelan Cole. You just see it yeah. over and over. So they have the opportunity to do that, but they can't initiate the play.
Right.
In basketball, you can dribble the ball up. Russ can right. just dribble the ball up and say, you know what, I'm going to take this shot, whether
right.
you like it or not.
Right.
But Terrell Owens or Antonio Brown, they can't dribble the ball up.
Right.
They can't decide, and it's going to be the quarterback's decision every time, mm-hmm. even if your number has been called and you're primary.
Right.
It's still a lot of things can go wrong. You can get doubled, whatever. The quarterback can get rushed, hurried. He's got a scramble. He can't see you, and it drives you crazy because you can't control your fate, right?
And most receivers, Skip, they only see their value yeah. in catches, yards, and touchdowns.
That's it.
And so if we win the game and I didn't have 10 for a buck 50 and two touchdowns, I did nothing. But that's not how you should see it.
Yeah.
If you run your route and you clear out and Juju gets the ball mm-hmm. or Jesse James or you throw a key block for James Conner.
Yep, I agree.
That's success also.
I know. But what I loved about the final years of your career, you accepted your role
yeah.
as big play Shea.
Yes.
And in Baltimore, that meant – literally one big catch.
That's it.
And it was going to be a game yeah. changer because you only needed 7 points.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay? So you have to accept your fate. That's what
yes.
you have to do for your football team. And guess what? You won a Super Bowl. And guess what? You're in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
These guys, it's just a different time now, yeah. Skip. Social media is yeah. the driving force and likes and mentions yeah. and all that stuff. It, mm-hmm. it gets your attention.
Mm.
Well, you just hope this war with the media doesn't affect his game.
I hope.
All you can hope for. No mercy. Earlier this week, a group of Pro Football Hall of Famers threatened to boycott next year's ceremonies unless they are given an annual salary, health insurance, and a share of league revenue. Our own Eric Dickerson led the charge by sending a letter to Roger Goodell, the Players Association, and the Hall. Now, since some of Hall of Famers have come out and said they're not on board, with the move. So we have Eric with us. How concerned are you with some of the backlash that you're getting?
You know what? I'm not concerned. I'll say this much here. You know, people ask me about the letter, you know, the letter. To me, the letter did its job. It's like if I fire a warning shot in the sky, you're going to look.
Right.
You're going to look up where that shot come from.
Right.
And so with the NFL, that's what you have to do. You can't say, hey, you know, you're going to do right and give us health care, give us a pension. No, that won't work. For me, I've always said, but when we first started this as the Hall of Famers, which we want the Hall of Famers first, mm-hmm. as a group, the guys, I say we want to start with the Hall first. We want health care and a proper pension for every player. That's our mission.
Right.
We want to start with the Hall.
Right.
All of a sudden, now, it's all about Hall of Fame. And I know it's said in the letter, but I want to make this perfectly clear to everyone that this is for every player that's ever played. We deserve this. This is what we deserve.
Right.
Players deserve it. I mean, I think it's a great movement. All of a sudden, I'm this villain. I'm this bad guy. You know, I'm selfish. You know, I'm money hungry. I mean, it's not about me. I don't care who does this. You know, we talked. I said, when I asked him, I said, look, you want me to go back and we talked about this for 2 years. You want to go back and start this? He said, you do it. I said, okay, now, be on board. Don't leave me out by myself. One thing my mother would always say to me, Eric, you got one bad quality. It's that loyalty. She say, you're too loyal. People are not as loyal as you. I told the guys, I'm willing to put everything on the line for this cause. And I believe that. And because I think it's a good cause. You don't see the baseball players sitting up talking about their pension. You don't see the basketball players talking about, we don't have health insurance. It's just the football players. Mm-hmm. And I think it's the right thing to do. Now, you might not agree with how we went about it.
Right.
You know, you might not agree with that. But you know what? Like I said before, when you have a game plan, you might not, you're going like, that game plan ain't going to work. But you know what you do at the half? You make halftime adjustments.
Right.
And so that's what we're doing. We're making adjustments on the run. But I think the big thing is that letter got everyone talking. I'll say this once more time. This is for every player. And I want every player to hear me, every player that ever played in the National Football pre-93 guys. I mean, because, you know, a lot of these guys, people don't realize these guys are hurting. Yesterday we had a conference call. One guy, I won't say his name, 74 years old. He says, only reason I'm still working so I can have health care. That's the only reason I work. He said, if I had health care, I wouldn't even work anymore. So, you know, like I said before, you might not like it, but I think that I know for a fact that we're doing what has to be done for our fellow brothers.
I don't have the problem that I have is that I felt we jumped the gun with the letter. I believe that instead of just automatically assuming, I believe you could have asked the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and the Players Association to come to the table. And you try to get them to the table and you try to explain to them, this is what we need, guys. I understand. And see, for me also, ED, I don't want to get into a situation where you go pre-93, what happened before free agency, and post-93. When I say we want health care for all guys that are vested, now how do we get to that vested player's 3 years, I think. Want all guys. Forget pre and post. We're not going to divide it up like that because we're already starting out with the Hall of Famers. There are only 180 living members in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Skip, that's a small number, but we're huge in stature.
Yep.
So we can get a seat at the table with these branches, with these entities, quicker than someone else that's not a Gold Jacket member.
Yep.
So that's what ED is saying. ED is saying, look, let us, if you run a race, somebody has to start the race.
You got to start somewhere, right.
So you have a someone that starts it, and he hands it off, and then he hands it off, and then somebody brings it home. I get that. The problem, ED, is that with the letter, because I don't want the goodwill that we've been working from, and a lot of people are still working behind the scenes. You know that.
Yes.
Or working behind the scenes. I don't want the goodwill that's being built up working behind the scenes. I'm a firm believer, Skip, even when I played. I didn't want my contract negotiations in the public. I didn't want the team tell the public what they were offering me. Mm-hmm. Let's keep this behind closed doors, and then we come to a resolution. We walk out together hand in hand. I'm still a Bronco, or I'm still a Raven, however the case may be. I believe that they'll do the right thing. They know this is the right thing. If we talk.
I don't want to cut you off, Shannon, but now you know the NFL never does the right thing. They don't. You're a former player.
Yes.
You know, any player that played in the National Football League know that. Then it's like saying the oppressor never wants to give up his oppression.
Right.
That's how the National Football League is. You know, we've been talking about this for years. All of a sudden, now they're going to say, you know what, guys? Y'all right. You know, we're going to give you health care. And we're going to give you a proper pension, not a poverty pension. Man, I'm going to say, when Deacon Jones told me this, Eric, he asked me, he said, Eric, what's your pension? I said, well, I think I was 42. I said, I think it's probably about $2,500 right now if I took it. He said, you know what my pension is? I said, what? $250. What am I going to do with $250 a month?
Oh, the pension's terrible.
I mean, it's horrible. Terrible. It's laughable, man. I mean, so the point is that these are the guys who built this game. They deserve this. And all of a sudden, I'm this villain. Like, I'm opportunistic. Man, look, I'm fighting for every guy. And I'll say it again. I am loyal. I'm like my mother said, boy, you like a dog. I am loyal to the cause. That's how much I want to fight for every player that played in the National Football League.
Go ahead, Skip.
This is tough on me. I think you are the greatest running back who ever played. And beyond that, I just like you. So it's hard to be objective about this from my side of this table. I'm a hardcore, longtime National Football League fan. And that hall that you guys are in, it's the most hallowed hall of all the halls in all the sports. And it's an honor the greatest honor in sports to me for you two to reside forever in that hall. And I think you both would agree with that, mm-hmm. that you appreciate the magnitude of that. When you fire that warning shot, and you could be right, maybe it requires that kind of gravity, that sort of ambition where you actually shoot that gun up in the air because you fired it. But you got to have your ducks in a row, and you got to make sure everybody's on board. And then all of a sudden I hear Kurt Warner says, well, wait a second, I didn't really know about this. And Jerry Rice said, I don't know about this. Maybe they did or maybe they didn't. Maybe there's just
go ahead. I'll address that, but go ahead.
Okay, some miscommunication. But you better have it all lined up. Mm-hmm. He didn't really know enough about it. He knew the gist of it, right. the premise of it, but he wasn't sure. And so he was a little blindsided the morning that the story broke via our Rob Parker on The Shadow League, mm-hmm. and something that he had written. And then you go so far in the afternoon to say, we want $300,000. Now, I can just tell
I'll address that too.
Fans are like, what? You want $300,000 a year? And then you start going down the line of, well, does Brett Favre, does he need $300,000? Does John Elway, does Dan, you know, the great quarterbacks, does O.J. Simpson deserve $300,000 a year? Because he's in there obviously too. We could just go on and on. Mm-hmm. So you're asking for about $100 million a year in pensions for all, how many is it?
180.
And obviously that number will continue to rise each year. The NFL obviously mints money every year. So this, you could argue this is a drop in that bucket. But in the big picture, I think it hit people the wrong way to start with, but maybe you needed to hit the people in power the wrong way too. But the prospect of you two guys boycotting one of the more hallowed nights in sports, right. which is the induction ceremony, where I just sit back in my living room and I'm just enthralled with it because it is special, man. And for you guys, I picture that stage with nobody up there except the inductee.
Yeah, I think.
Well, once again, if I'm about to cut you off, right. the 300,000, you know, that was just, and I'm not saying that was not even a number. That was a misquote. But I'll say this much here: if Roger Goodell can make $40 million a year, and DeMar Smith can make $4 million a year plus an $8 million annuity plan, what is Jim Brown worth? What was Deacon Jones worth? The number could be 50,000, 70,000. It's something, you know. I'm just saying, it's a number. It's all it is. I always tell people, don't get caught up on the small things, a little thing. We're not at a negotiating table. They're not coming out saying, hey, you know what? They're asking for $300,000 right now, and they're demanding it. That's not what we're doing. You know, we're just trying to get people to understand how bad our pension is. The boycott once again. It's a warning shot. Now, what are we doing right now? Everybody's talking about it. You might not like it. Mm. You might not be popular with it. You know, as they say, the truth is not always popular. Mm. But you know what? It's the truth. You might not like it. And hold up.
Go ahead.
My thing is, I'll say it again, is that I want to help the player. You know, the killing part is all of a sudden, I get all these attacks on my character. Look, Skip, you're not perfect. You're not perfect.
Hell no.
You're not perfect, and I'm not perfect. But when I see things that I know that are not true, when I see things, they said that I crossed the picket line.
Yeah, I read that last night, 1987.
Man, I did
and Lawrence
never
Taylor.
Crossed the picket line.
Really?
Never. That is a lie. I played my last game for the Los Angeles Rams October 26, 1987. The reason I lost the rushing title, because Charlie White played in the game. Right. I didn't play. I played one game when everybody came back.
Where did that come from?
Then we know one thing.
But there were a lot of people that did cross the picket line.
I got letters here for my guys. They tweeted out. These are the guys that support us in that effort for the Hall of Fame. Right. But I never crossed the picket line. And the thing, when I see stuff like that, I'm like, I didn't cross no picket line. I know I did. I know where I was at.
Right.
For sure. And then all of a sudden, I see this guy, what's the writer name? Jim Trotter, making all these accusations. Michael David Smith, you know, I'm selfish. I'm trying to make all this money. Man, I'm not trying to do anything. I'm trying to help the guys.
Right.
That is my mission. You can tell I'm kind of passionate about this. I want to help. That is all I want to do. I don't care who. Skip, if you took the reins. Hey, I'm good with it. I'll sit back. Let's do it, dog. Let's do this.
I think the thing that rubbed people a lot of people the wrong way is that a lot of the Hall of Fame members came out being critical of T.O. for boycotting his own induction. So how can we be so upset at T.O.
Yep.
for boycotting the induction, and then we turn around and talk about boycott? I get what you're saying, but for me, I just prefer to keep everything behind the scenes. Handle it like that. I agree. Look, You know, I know what went on, and I know some of the players that all of a sudden, when their name get out that they're on this list, now all of a sudden, I ain't say nothing. They're lying.
And quick thought, Jerry Rice, Kurt Warner, any communication?
I'll say this much here. Okay. For Kurt Warner, that was a miscommunication. Okay. Kurt said, I support it. When I had 7 drafts I'm going through, I'm trying to read all the drafts. I didn't go to the bottom of every one of them. Of course, Kurt said he supported. He was not a board member. He just supported. Jerry Rice. Now, that one is perplexing to me. I ain't going to even go there.
I'm not going to go there. I think the thing, here's the thing.
Hold on. I want to say one more thing. And John Randall. I like John Randall. But John Randall will say, man, I was on, but I'm not down with the letter. I said, John, it's not about a letter. It's about what we're trying to accomplish. I said, on the golf course that day, what did we say? I said, we want to start with the Hall of Fame guys. We want to try to get all the guys healthy. Didn't we say that? Yes, but forget the letter. It's not about a letter.
It's not. You know what it is? It's that their names on the letter, it became public.
All those names.
Right. If we're sitting around the table and Roger Goodell, David Baker, who's president of the Hall of Fame, and D. Smith, you pass out these letters and you say, these are some of the guys that's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame that support this. So I just want you to know, this is not an Eric Dickerson thing. This is us. That'd have been fine. Skip, it's like a lot of things. They try to keep affidavits and they try to keep people that's going to testify. They try to keep it private to the very last minute. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no problem testifying, but I just don't want you to know I'm going to testify.
I agree.
So that's
if one name says, I don't know anything about this, right, it disqualifies one of the
right
more
powerful.
That's a powerful list there.
And this
right?
I've got a great list. I got a great list of guys. Like, I'll say it again. I want every guy. I keep saying, understand me when I say this. Shannon, you know it.
Yeah.
I want every guy that plays to help healthcare. We deserve it. We shouldn't have this poverty-stricken pension. It's ridiculous. And we have the most lucrative sport pretty much in the world. Everybody watches the National Football League. They really do. Damar Smith, terrible job. David Baker, everybody loves David Baker. But he ain't done nothing great. He's done nothing great. Seriously.
Yes, he has.
I disagree. We can agree to disagree. We can say that.
But you got the
understanding. And then I go to Roger Goodell. Look, Roger has health insurance, doesn't he? Yeah. His family has health insurance. He makes $40 million. I don't even care he makes $40 million. That's fine with me. Give him the $40 million. But you know what? Take care of these guys over here. Take care of us. That's my argument.
I got no problem with that. And that's the most important thing for me, ED, is the health care. And look, if they want to give a stipend to guys that's on Medicaid or Medicare, let those get the stipends. The most important thing to us, let's start with the health. Okay, if you want to start with the Hall of Fame, I would love to have it. Forget me. Give it to a guy that's not a Hall of Famer that needs it. I'm good.
That's exactly what you said, too. And that's what a lot of guys say. You say, like, you know what? I don't even need it. You know, just give it, put it back in the pot. And that, you know, because we want also to help a lot of these wives, you know. They're struggling with their husbands. I mean, the husbands, they don't even know they're in the world. Right. It's heartbreaking to watch. It just breaks my heart to see it.
Eric,
but I'm a bad guy. Remember
you
that.
Are the perfect person to lead this charge.
Thank
you.
You're
not a bad guy. You can feel the passion. You're just players too loyal. Are lucky to have you. Thank you
you're
so much.
You're just delusional if you think you're that lucky.
I
wouldn't go there.
No mercy. Conor McGregor will be in the octagon for the first time in almost 2 years when he faces Khabib in 2 weeks at UFC 229. Now, the last time these two were at a UFC event, Conor was arrested for attacking a bus that Khabib was in. Yesterday, they faced off in what Dana White called the, quote, darkest press conference he's ever been a part of. Take a listen.
I'm come here for smash this guy.
Smash me, mate.
I can smash
you. Send location. Here it is, right here in front of you.
The high level guys
have to
wrestling.
Fight for money no more. Thank the Lord.
You
Jesus
fight with small
Christ.
Guys in fight
division. I don't
division.
Have to fight
and
for
these
money
guys
no more.
Who have wrestling,
so
they give
much
you a lot of problems. What are you talking about? Your wrestling is zero. Your grappling is zero. I'm going to mow you.
Let's wrestle, kid.
Let's wrestle. 6 October.
Let's wrestle.
Shannon, that was nonstop. Do you think Conor will back up his talk?
Skip, this is the fight. This is his toughest opponent. This guy can really... No. Conor is a striker. He doesn't want to get into a wrestling match.
This guy can really wrestle.
Yeah. He doesn't want to take this to the mat. Mm-hmm. Conor's going to want to stay up, keep him at a distance, because Conor is great with his hands. He went 10 rounds with arguably the best fighter to ever live in Floyd Mayweather. So we know he can strike.
Yep.
Got power, and especially with those 4-ounce gloves, he got dynamite in both hands. So I believe he will win this fight, but I believe this will be his toughest fight. even tougher than Nate Diaz because this guy is explosive, Skip. But here's the thing. He just signed a new six-fight deal. You can't start this six-fight deal with a loss. He needs to win this because remember, Skip, what started dimming the light on Ronda Rousey is that she lost.
Yep.
And she lost in dramatic fashion. Mm-hmm. And Conor is rusty. He hadn't fought in this type of arena, mm-hmm. genre, in almost 2 years.
Almost 2 years since he had a UFC fight.
That's a long time. And if you look at it, Skip, all the guys that he fought, especially in the lightweight, I think just the lightweight, flyweight mm-hmm. division, 155.
Yep.
Conor's bigger than they are. Mm-hmm. Habib is bigger than him. Habib is the bigger man.
Yep.
So for the first time in a long time, he's going, because Conor was the bigger, he was bigger than Mayweather. For the first time in a long time, Conor's going to be the smaller man mm-hmm. when they enter the octagon
yep.
on fight night. This is going to be very interesting. I'm going to watch this one.
I'm going to watch
it. Hey, Dana White. I want to get a bet.
Yep. Okay. So, Conor was in rare form yesterday. Yeah. And you know what? He is a gifted insult comic because he makes me laugh.
He
was doing a number on Floyd. I know he goes over the edge half the time, but whatever. So, 2 years almost since he's been in the octagon. What happened in the interim? He boxed Floyd Mayweather Jr. and he made reportedly $100 million.
Yeah.
$100 million? His grand total of UFC earnings up to that point was $9.5 million. Then he goes to $100 million. Yeah. What did Dana White tell us one day sitting right here? Or maybe it was in Las Vegas, yeah. but he said, you know, after you make $100 million, it's hard to wake up in the morning and say, I want to go get hit in the face in the octagon.
Because that was because he came to pay off a bet.
Yeah, he came to pay off the bet. Yeah. Okay, well, he's right about that. Because it's not that easy to go get hit in the face, right?
No.
I mean, Floyd, with the bigger gloves, you can duck and dodge and dance and run, and it's not that taxing. You know, it's not that dangerous. This is dangerous.
Yeah.
So I'm skeptical of it, man, because are you really going to be all in? Is your heart going to be in this? Are you going to train hard for it? You got $100 million?
Yeah.
Skip, I think Conor kind of enjoys life.
Well, here's the thing, Skip.
I think he's been enjoying his life.
It's easy to fight when you're on welfare mm-hmm. because you're fighting to get out of something.
Yeah.
You're fighting to get somewhere. You make $100 million,
yep.
now you're on yachts and now you're buying million-dollar Richard Mille watches. Mm-hmm. That's a whole different ball game, Skip. Mm-hmm. But that's what you have to love so much about Mayweather. Mayweather's making $30, $40, $50, $100 million, and he still has the desire to go in the gym and train just as hard. I believe Conor will train just as hard because he doesn't want to get embarrassed.
Man.
When you talk as much as he talks, Skip Bayless, you better be on your best behavior at all times.
He can out-talk you.
Yeah! And so these guys are coming. That's why I had to be on my best behavior, Skip, because I know these guys were coming. They heard what I said. I know they were coming to embarrass me.
Yeah.
So Conor knows Habib is coming to embarrass mm-hmm. him. Mm-hmm. They've been going back and forth, and Conor says, look, I showed up to where you were at your last fight. I put my hands up, showed you I had no weapons. I was trying to see you, but you were hiding behind women. He said, you caused what happened in that bus because you wouldn't get off and face me like a
that's
man.
That's what he said.
So now, and this right here, Skip, all that talking, you do all that talking you want to, but when they lock that door behind you, they either open it or you jump over the top. That's the only way you coming up out of there.
Yeah. And as I carefully watched Nurmagomedov during this press conference, he took a lot of it and he sighed through a lot of it. But I could just see in his face, I don't think he was intimidated
by any of it.
Right?
No.
And he might have been a little more enraged by some of it because Conor, as usual, crossed some lines and he got
called his trainer or his handler or a terrorist. And he called.
Then he insulted his faith and he insulted his homeland.
Yeah.
And you know what did he do to Floyd?
Yeah.
He got racist.
Yeah.
That's what he does. Mm-hmm. That's his M.O.
He said he's going to smash him.
Yeah.
He said he's going to smash him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, why didn't you smash me, brother?
Yeah.
Smash me, man.
Mocking
mate. He called him mate.
Yeah.
He said, I came, I showed up.
Yeah.
Had no weapons.
I can't wait for this either, but I'm skeptical that we're going to see the Conor of old, the Nate Diaz.
Well, you better, see the Conor of old and not an old Conor, because this dude for real. You see them cauliflower ears? Mm-hmm. That means he's real about the wrestling.
He's
game.
A wrestler.
Yeah.
And Conor has turned 30 years of age. Not that that's old, but it's older.
Yeah. And that rust, that layoff. That's a long time, Skip.
Yep.
Because like I said, I can assure you, when he's posting all those Instagram pictures on that yacht, he ain't got no octagon on that yacht. No. He's not training on that yacht.
Well, it's going to be an epic fight and fun. No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Keep an eye out for the weekend edition of the podcast tomorrow morning, featuring this week's best segments. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Facts, sports, one of one.